If we act inconsistently according to our true identity in the world, then we can be good for nothing. You can blow your testimony by being worldly and ungodly. His righteousness is not manifest in you. And that flavor is no longer there. It's gone. It's flavorless. It can't be brought back. You can destroy relationships, destroy your testimony for Christ.
Welcome to this Friday edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And Greg, today we'll consider the statement that Jesus declared in the Sermon on the Mount, that you are the light of the world. And you know, at face value, that's a pretty simple, straightforward statement.
David, it is a really simple statement that we need to look at closely, because if we don't realize who we are, we're never going to understand God's purpose for us as we walk in this dark world. So with that in mind, we continue our detour from our Colossians series to look at Matthew chapter 5, and we're looking at verses 14 to 16.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, if you want to listen to today's broadcast again, just download our new free app from the Apple App Store. You'll find today's broadcast, archived broadcasts, as well as more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
Well, over the past few centuries, or actually millennia, there's been a lot of different views on how the church, quote-unquote, should relate to the world. You have periods of time where the church and those who are spiritual would hide out and do whatever, supposedly to stay away from the corruption of the world. You have these days the church saying, hey, world, come on in and we're going to try to convert you, but we need to make you comfortable. But the reality is God's word gives us everything we need for life and godliness. When we lean on our own understanding, when we trust in our own wisdom, we're doing nothing more than allowing that which is earthly, natural, and demonic to control the church. And may we never do that. May we allow God's word to control what we do, whether we're in church or as we go into the world. So how are we to behave in the context of a sinful world? You know, we've got a lot of people who aren't saved out there. You go out there, the majority of those you will come in contact with every single day are probably not saved. So how are we to interact with them? What are we to do? Should we be throwing tracts around? Well, I'm not saying this tract isn't a bad thing to have ready if the Lord might want to use that. Should we be having signs on the side of the road saying repent? Not said every once in a while. I'm thankful when I see a sign that says Jesus forgives you, you know. But what are we to do, personally speaking? Well, as we've come to this portion in Colossians chapter 4, where we are seeing how we are to relate to outsiders, I wanted to look at another passage which gives us some insight into that. So would you turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5, and we're going to see how we are to behave in an ungodly world. You know, we can be tempted to malign, to get angry, whatever, we see all the sin out there, right? We can be tempted to react in ways that may not be that which is right. So what does the Bible have to say about how we are to behave in the midst of an ungodly world? Are we to go hide out and stay away so that we don't get anywhere near it? What are we to do? Again, we're going to see today how we're to do so. And we're going to see that we are to be who we are in Christ so that God would be glorified. Now, we're in the book of Matthew, and you can turn to Matthew chapter 5 if you're not already there. And we're looking at the portion called the Sermon on the Mount, or the Teaching on the Mount. And it's important to realize that these chapters, in chapters 5 through 7, they are chapters in which we're going to look at today. The context of the verses that we'll see today is what the Lord does through this is, I believe, he reveals kingdom righteousness. The king presents his righteousness, which confronts phony righteousness, which is really just lawlessness. And so in the beginning of this portion on the Sermon on the Mount, we have what's called the Beatitudes. And really, we kind of can take that like that's the way we ought to be. That's the attitudes we ought to be, right? Well, if we've been with us when we've gone through the book of Matthew, really that's not what it is. These are statements that describe those who are truly blessed. They reveal a lifestyle of those who are in the kingdom of heaven, those who have been saved. You see, the Lord Jesus graciously came upon the Jews who thought they were saved and laid forth his kingdom righteousness upon their hearts to show them where they fall short. And indeed, in chapter 5, these Beatitudes, it reveals what someone who is saved actually looks like. And in corollary fashion, these Beatitudes also reveal someone is not saved, right? Blessed are the poor in spirit. The people who are blessed, those are spiritually bankrupt, who need Jesus, who have nothing on their own, right? Blessed are those who have a pure heart. Well, you're only pure by having it cleansed through Jesus Christ. It's speaking of those who are in the kingdom. So with that in mind, we come to the end of the Beatitudes in verses 11 and 12. And at that point, the Lord Jesus no longer says, blessed are those, blessed are those, blessed are those. He changes it. He says, blessed are you. And he points to his disciples concerning those who have been persecuted. You see, if you are following the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to be persecuted, but you are blessed. And these are encouraging verses. Look at verse 11. Blessed are you when men cast insults at you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely on account of me. He says, blessed are you. I believe he's pointing to his disciples there and to true believers, okay? Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. Praise the Lord, right? The Lord's not going to leave these things undone. He's going to reward you for when you suffer for him, when you suffer for his sake, when you suffer for righteousness' sake. And so here we see the evidence of actually being a true believer, the blessed, is that you're persecuted. That's one of the evidences here. And it's from this point Jesus begins to jump forward to some statements to his disciples, which will also reveal that they're of the kingdom of heaven. And now we're going to have some instruction on how those in the kingdom are to relate to those who are not in the kingdom. And so let's take a look at our passage here. And I'm going to go back one verse to verse 13. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has become tasteless, how will it be made salty again? It is good for nothing anymore except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. The light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Men do not light a lamp and put it under a peg measure, but on the lampstand, and it gives its light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Now, we all know this, I think. We've heard these truths, but are we living them? Are we reminded of them? Is the word dwelling richly in us when we're out in the world? We're going to see here two declarations concerning what true believers are. And within that, it's going to help us know how we're to function in the midst of an ungodly world. Now, before we get to our passage, I just want to review briefly the fact that we are the salt of the earth. Specifically, that our righteous behavior in Christ is the means in which a sin-corrupt world tastes his righteousness. Look at verse 13, and we'll just briefly review this portion. It's not what I'm going to teach on, but I'm going to just explain it a little bit and move into our passage. Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has become tasteless, how will it be made salty again? It is good for nothing except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. Now, who is the you that he is speaking of here? Remember, he was saying, blessed are those, blessed are they. Then he moved in verse 11 to blessed are you. And he talked about those who were persecuted. And I read that verse earlier, verses 11 and 12. Those who have been persecuted, who have reward in heaven. And thus, from that portion, we see he is speaking to kingdom citizens, to those who are citizens of the kingdom, to those who have a relationship with the living God. He's speaking of children of God through faith in him. Very clearly, it is through faith in Jesus Christ that we are delivered out of the reign of darkness into the kingdom of his beloved Son. And so here, he's speaking to the saved. He says, you are the salt of the earth. Now, salt in the ancient Near East was a very valuable commodity, and it was used to help preserve meats, to keep them from spoiling. It was also used to flavor food. Now, I believe the analogy here the Lord is making is not that we are one of a preservative. Now, certainly, are we sense preserving the world? Yeah, in a sense we are. I mean, the Lord isn't coming yet because we're not taken out, right? You know, but I don't think that's the case here because I think he's talking about flavor. A lot of people say it's preservative. I say no. I believe he's speaking of flavor. And the reason why, notice what he says, but if the salt has become tasteless or flavorless, he doesn't say if it's not preserving anymore. He says it has become tasteless. So I believe the analogy has to do with the idea of how salt flavors things. Now, if you don't like salt in your eggs, that's okay, but your eggs don't have any flavor. You got to put salt on it for flavor, right? Or whatever it might be. You understand that salt flavors it, right? You know, you have something for dinner and it's like a little bland. You go, a little dash of salt. No, man, it tastes great, right? It's speaking of flavor. So with this in mind, he says, you are the salt of the earth. And then later on, we'll look at it where he says, you are the light of the world. You see, indeed, the world apart from Christ is bound in sin, living in the context of unrighteousness. And it has no understanding of Christ's righteousness within itself. Zero. Living in unrighteousness. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There are none righteous, not even one. They have no true understanding from within their own sphere of what his righteousness looks like. Zero. And let's not forget the context that preceded these verses. Remember, he talks about those who are blessed, those who are saved. And he talks about that for righteousness' sake. Look at verse 10. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of what? Righteousness. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men cast insults and persecute you and say all kinds of things against you falsely on account of me. You see, the righteousness that comes forth is through Jesus Christ. When you are saved, you are declared righteous, but when we abide in Jesus, his character is manifest in us. When Christ lives his life through us, then we are able to do what is right. Righteousness, rightness. It is righteous to not get angry, but to give it over to the Lord. It is righteous to not hold on to things, but to forgive. It is righteous to do your work heartily unto the Lord and not unto men. It is righteous to obey the Lord and his word. Those things are righteous. They are the right things to do that God does through us as his word works on us. So we are unable to do that apart from abiding in Jesus Christ. So thus, brothers and sisters, we are the flavor, the seasoning in a corrupt world. And that flavor and seasoning is not simply me talking about Jesus. It's not simply me saying stuff and having bumper stickers and all that stuff. It is his righteousness in us. That is the flavor in this context. And that is the light. When he's going to talk about your good deeds, those good deeds are done in righteousness. They are right. They are based on a living God abiding in us and bringing forth his character. So as we're going to see, it's his character manifest in our words and deeds, which will also include bringing forth his word. And folks, this is validated in the parallel passage we're going to look at in a minute. Look at verse 16. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. So here, the salt and light is our behavior in Christ. It is his righteousness manifest in our lives. When we, by faith, allow Christ to be manifest in our lives, his word dwelling richly in us, we abide in him, then we bear fruit. And that fruit of those good deeds that God has prepared for us from the foundation. Paul told the Ephesians that the fruit of the light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Ephesians 5:9. So then, concerning what Jesus means in this context when he says you are the salt of the earth, I believe he's saying you are the flavor, the seasoning. True believers in the midst of this corrupt world flavor it. They season it with the righteousness of Christ manifest in our deeds as we trust him and obey him. So the world here does not know and cannot know righteousness on its own, but will taste it. Well, you say they're dead in their trespasses and sins. Well, yes, but wait a second. He says later on, you're the light of the world. They're going to see your good deeds. They're able to see it. And thus they're going to glorify God who is in heaven if they're convicted and saved by Jesus Christ. So he says, you are the salt or flavoring of the earth. Or here he says of the world here in this context. So then, what does he mean you are the salt of the earth? Obviously, we understand that now. Now, when someone comes to faith in Jesus, truly saved, delivered from darkness to light, by trusting his beloved Son, we're now the flavor of his righteousness in the midst of a corrupt world. As you trust and obey the Lord, his righteousness will be manifest in you. You are the salt to the earth. And there was this CCM song out, you know, let's be light, let's be salt, salt and light. Now, I hate that. You are. Not let's be, you are. Stop not being it, okay? You are the salt of the earth, right? That's what Jesus said. And so with that in mind, but we also see here there is the tragic possibility that believers might become tasteless. that the unrighteousness in the life of a true believer, because of it, will cause them to no longer function as salt in the world. Verse 13 again, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has become tasteless, you know, salt can become tasteless. Have you ever had old salt you poured on your eggs and you go, wait a second, right? It's good for nothing. What do you do with it? You throw it out because it's not doing what it was made to do. You toss it out. It is worthless. And he says here, but if the salt has become tasteless in context, you being the salt of the earth becoming tasteless, he says, how will it be made salty again? It is good for nothing anymore except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. That's a serious statement. Inconsistent. If we act inconsistently according to our true identity in the world, then we can be good for nothing. You can blow your testimony by being worldly and ungodly. His righteousness is not manifest in you. And that flavor is no longer there. It's gone. It's flavorless. And it can't be brought back. You can destroy relationships, destroy your testimony for Christ. Serious stuff. So then God has left us in the world to manifest his righteousness in an unrighteous world. And if we behave like the unrighteous, we are good for nothing. If you behave like the world, you're good for nothing. Now, at this point, we come to our passage where Jesus moves from describing believers through the analogy of salt to through the analogy of light. So how are we to behave in an ungodly world? Well, first of all, as we've seen, we're going to need to understand that we are the light of the world. We're certainly salt, but we are the light of the world. We need to know that and understand that. Our behavior in Christ is the means in which a sin-corrupt world will see his righteousness. There's no other way. There is no other way. Now, they can hear it from the Word, no doubt about that. That's got to come forth. It comes through people or the Bible, whatever. But there's no way they're going to see his righteousness apart from his people manifesting his righteousness. Verse 14, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do men light a lamp and put it under a peck measure, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Again, he says you here. He's speaking of believers. He's speaking of those who are blessed ones because of a relationship with the Father through Jesus Christ. They are those who have reward and an inheritance in heaven. They are those who are in the kingdom of his beloved Son. They are those whose spiritual father is in heaven. Now, like we saw a moment ago concerning salt, Jesus declares that believers are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. It's a simple analogy, just like the analogy of salt. It is an analogy. He's saying true believers, present tense, are continually, habitually the light of the world. But what does this analogy mean? Well, I think it's not that difficult to understand. We see in Scripture the metaphor of light throughout. Certainly, we see consistently the metaphors of darkness and light in Scripture, right? And within that, we see light as representing righteousness and darkness as representing sin and evil and unrighteousness. We see in Scripture that God himself is portrayed as light, and those who are truly his, they are portrayed as children of light. Indeed, in Scripture, we have the affirmation God is light. Look at 1 John 1, towards the end of your Bibles and your Revelation. Okay, so 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. And this is the message which we have heard from him and announced to you. Now notice this, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from sin. God by nature has no sin. In him there is no darkness at all. God is light, and in him there is no sin or evil. Zero. Light is also consistently seen in Scripture associated with the attributes of God. We saw this earlier, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 9. For the fruit of light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Those attributes of God in the believer. And we also see in Scripture that God's word is metaphorically seen as light. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto... It illumines his righteous things, the righteous path, the right way. Right? Now, Jesus Christ, God incarnate, is also portrayed as light. Look at John 1. You probably know this. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things came into being by him. And apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Life and righteousness go together. Death and sin and unrighteousness go together. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The reality is, God is portrayed as light also. And we see this in the book of Matthew a little earlier, Matthew chapter 4, verse 16. The people who were sitting in darkness, it wasn't like all the lights were out in Jerusalem. They were sitting in the darkness of their sin. They were sitting in darkness, saw a great light. That was Christ and his righteousness, perfect righteousness. And those who were sitting in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light dawned. And from that time, Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The Lord Jesus Christ himself declared himself to be light. To be light in the context of the world, by the way. He said that he's the light of the world. Wait a second, I thought we're the light of the world. Well, he's the light of the world, first and foremost, right? John 8:12. Jesus therefore spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. John 9:5. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Jesus is the light of the world. And now he is gone, and we have him in us. And when we abide in Jesus, we are the light of the world. We are shining in the midst of a dark, sinful world. And guess what? When Jesus came, because of the Jews' hard hearts, they didn't get it. They did not receive him, that they rejected him. John 1:5, and the light shines in the darkness did not comprehend it. There came a man sent from God whose name was John. He came, this is John 1:7, he came as a witness that he might bear witness of the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to bear witness of the light, speaking of John the Baptist. There was a true light, which coming into the world enlightens every man. And we see here, he was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. Let's look a little farther on. Actually, turn to John 3. Let's start with verse 16. You see, it is through faith in Christ that we're delivered from the domain of darkness. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world should be saved through him. He who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you. Thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, as we wrap up today's broadcast, you've given us some good groundwork about light and the aspects of light that are found in Scripture. So how are we to apply what we learned today?
You know, Dave, very simply, I think we need to examine ourselves. We need to ask ourselves, am I displaying the character of Christ to those around me? When God opens doors, am I willing and ready to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world? Does my life exhibit the characteristics of the light that is in me, the living God? And as such, we cannot be hidden. We are going to shine. Yet the reality is that sometimes we do not manifest the character of Christ. The light of his character is dimmed in our lives. Now, if in your evaluation today you realize that the light of Christ is not shining through you the way it should, I would encourage you to repent.
Ask the Lord to forgive your sin and make a decision to start fresh today, understanding that you are the light of the world. And as you trust and rely on Him, His character will shine through you. Now be sure to join us for our next broadcast as we go deeper into this very familiar portion of Scripture. Hopefully we'll see you then.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And if you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again on Monday, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.